While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the Radio News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, dear listeners of Eagle FM. We are greeting policymakers, economists. Welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin with me, David Shombe. It's that time of the afternoon that we look at the affairs of business, the affairs of economics, the affairs of trade, and everything that affects our bread and butter. From 1300 hours until 1400 hours, this is a platform that we give you updates, give you news bulletins on what's happening in the country, what is happening in the region of SADC, what is happening internationally, and also how it affects Namibia development priorities. We also give you an opportunity to engage us in the studio, especially contributing on the news bulletin. Today, we are looking at oil and gas. We are going to be in the conversation with Knowledge Pinge, who is an entrepreneur and in the sector of energy, especially when he's standing as the founder of Namibia Association for Offshore Oil and Gas Service Providers, to speak on how Namibian businesses can be able to strategically position themselves when it comes to operating in the industry of oil and gas. The second aspect, we'll look at the communication from the head of upstream, the head of petroleum upstream unit, and the special advisor to the president, especially looking at the aspect of policy certainty and also advising investors on the importance of consistency in terms of following policies. And that is Mme Cornelius Shirunga, to look at the content of her speech when communicating on the 4th Oil and Gas Summit. Moving forward, we'll look at the communication from WHO, especially looking at DRC Ebola as a global emergency, and look at that context. From there, we look at international trade, foreign exchange rate, and we also look at top traded commodities. Let's come back shortly and continue with that conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, we are moving forward with On the Radar News Bulletin. We are here at the 4th Oil and Gas Conference in Namibia. We are talking to industrial players, some of the investors and also business people within the sector. And today, this afternoon, I'm joined by Knowledge Pinge. It's a well-known public figure, but today we are speaking from the perspective of business, and also what are some of the expectations, what are some of the new changes, and what Namibians can do, especially joining in this industry. Knowledge Pinge, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Yes, we are at the 4th Oil and Gas Conference, and we are looking at Namibia toward getting the first oil. From where you are standing, how is the readiness of Namibian business people, especially when it comes to involvement in the industry, and what are some of the challenges so far?
Okay, just to put context to everything, I'm here actually attending the conference in my capacity as the founder of the Namibian Association for Offshore Oil and Gas Service Providers, meaning that I'm representing the members of the association, which are service companies. So as you can see within this stand alone, we have Wolfish Bay Valves and Supplies, which is a company deliberately founded for the industry, focused on the maintenance as well as also the supply of valves. At the same time also, we have created an ecosystem around this company, which is it has partnered with international players in terms of corrosion solutions with Kent Offshore, as well as with Panam, who are the manufacturers of valves from India. So what we're then doing as a local entity, we definitely representing these international companies as their agent in terms of distribution, but then at the same time also, we have a local workforce that's trained to do aspects of asset integrity, maintenance jobs, and all. And these are all on the ground in Wolfish Bay doing the work already, and we are seeing already progress in that respect. Why we have gone that route is to position ourselves in the right way in order to be able to then be ready by the time that the on the industry take off, not only wait up until the day that the first oil flows and when you see the oil flowing, but then moving definitely as the industry go into different phases. Right now everyone is waiting on the FID, but by the time that the FID is announced, let's say by Total, which is the first one, the services will be up for grabs. Are we ready as Namibians? The reality, we are a few years behind. The best way to do is to start playing catch up and to lay a foundation where you can then build on as things progress. At least get a first phase, a second phase in place, and then move on as things progress, starting with the little resources available, definitely.
Yeah, looking at the broader perspective, if you look at other players, especially the young people in this industry, are the Namibian young people ready to get involved into the sector? What are some of the challenges, and what do you think we really need to do? We are happy to see that industry or institutions such as yours, you are already ahead. But what about others when you are looking at it?
Yeah, Namibians, in terms of readiness, it depends how you look at it and from what lens you look at it. I always tell the story that we are a fortunate nation, fortunate in the aspect that we have laid a foundation in terms of the maritime industry, especially around the value chain of NAM port as well as NAM dock in the what is it, ship repair industry. So a lot of companies, whether it is logistics, marine support services, it is artisans, whether you're looking at welders, fabricators, and all that, those are already skills we have in country. What we need to do is just upskilling, whether it is now to meet certain standards, whether it's ESME standards, API standards, ISO certifications, and so on. That's what we need to do as a country. But we do have Namibians in country with the necessary capacity and the skill sets to deliver.
Now, moving forward, there has been a discussion about investment and partnership between Namibians and international players in this industry. Now, looking at partnership and the Namibian law, what do you think, especially from lawmakers, need to be done urgently, especially to accelerate this industry, and also from the side of those who are partnering? What do you think need to be done, especially looking at partnership?
So what need to be done is it's a very clear thing. We do have the what is it, the Namibian entities with capacity to lay the foundation. In terms of the lawmakers, we always call for the lawmakers. Now, Namibia, if you know the historical facts, our constitution is very watertight. And when I'm saying it's very watertight, is provisions have been made already. The foundation have been laid already. And I'll refer you, for example, to the Affirmative Action Act. It's very clear in terms of creating opportunities for Namibians, especially the disadvantaged Namibians. That is very clear. Now you add to it the growth at home industrial policy, which was introduced years ago. So that is already a pathway created on how Namibia can industrialize, on how we can actually grab opportunities that are coming with industries like the oil and gas industry. Now add to that then our Labor Act. It makes provisions. There are regulations that are issued for seafarers, for example, that then also cross-cut into the authority of the Minister of Works and Transport, which is actually the authority responsible for seafarers, especially the work happening offshore. Now, if you can remember, before a few months before Honorable Mutorwa stepped down, he introduced the MLC regulations. So the introduction of the MLC regulations make provisions for Namibians to be scaled at the international level already. And that has appeared before Parliament and it has been passed already. So some of these things are already in place. But for some reason, there is this myth also going around that is debunking our readiness and all, and that we need to create new laws and that we are waiting on certain laws to be passed. But the current laws make provisions for us to participate already, and it is already laying that foundation, and we need to build on that. In terms of the lawmakers, I've seen a lot of conversations from lawmakers at different sides of the benches. What need to happen, industry and the lawmakers also need to sit down in order to craft the strategy, because sometimes the lawmakers are not just informed by what is really on the ground. But I know the Parliament's standing committees are currently now out on the ground, and we hope they get actually to industry, especially within Erongo region, as well as Karas region, in order to acquaint themselves with what is currently on the ground, the foundations we've laid, and like what you can see here right at the stands. It's a practical example of work that has been done in the industry using the current law and the current regimes.
Yeah, Nolin Jipinge, just last three, what is your message that you have, especially to young professionals, some students, they are contemplating on entering the oil and gas industry, but there is that fear that it's only for big guys. What is your advice, especially to those who really have intention, but there's always a fear of the unknown to say, no, knowledge, they already know the system, or these are the only people that are at a certain level. But there are those who want, but they don't really see a clear picture. What is your message to them?
Well, my message to them is very clear. When you see me speaking this and all that, I'm not an expert, but it is the results actually of the work that I've put in over the past 3 to 4 years now. Efforts in terms of self-studying, which is the first point, and then definitely the educational backing, which is very important as well. But you should not just rely on the books. You should go out also and learn. Learn from people who have been in the industry for 20, 30 years. Try to approach them as mentors as well. Sometimes you just need one virtual session with these individuals, and they are willing to do that. And those are the type of approaches that Namibians should start taking. Then you then move into the next step, which is kicking down the doors. Go out to those offices, knock on their doors. If you have to sit 3 hours, 4 hours waiting to meet the HR person or whoever you need to meet in a certain company, do that and position yourself. But be sure that you are ready. You've laid a foundation, you've educated yourself with what you want, and your vision is very clear in terms of where you want to position yourself. And I believe somewhere, somehow, someone will buy into it. Out of 100 people, at least one need to listen to you.
Yes, knowledge, thank you for your time. Thank you for input.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, that was Knowledge Pinge looking at the oil sector and indicating that networking is necessary, and also having visual meetings and also communicating with the mentors is necessary, especially looking at the industry. And also indicated that young people must be willing to learn and also put time in order to understand the sector. Moving on with the oil and gas summit today, the head of petroleum upstream unit and the special advisor to the president, that is Cornelia Shilunga, has given a statement looking at Namibia's position in the oil and gas sector, what investors need to do in terms of legal certainty, and also what government need to do, especially making sure that the environment is attractive, and also the legal framework is followed, and Namibians are benefiting from the oil and gas industry. Let us look at this and come back shortly.
Of ceremonies, the protocol is already established. Good morning. Thank you. It gives me a great pleasure to speak to you on this occasion of the Namibian Oil and Gas Conference 2026. I would like to thank Economic Association of Namibia in collaboration. Our responsibility is to establish the policy, legislative, and institutional environment that provides certainty to investors, protects the interest of the Namibian people, and support the development of a competitive national petroleum industry. I have found the theme of this year's conference, From Decision to Dividend, Making Namibia's Oil Work for Namibians, to be fitting as Namibia moves towards oil and gas development and production phases. And in this regard, I would like to highlight several key areas of work currently receiving the attention of the Upstream Petroleum Unit in the Office of the President. The development of major petroleum projects. Government continues to engage with investors and operators on the development of Namibia's significant discoveries. And this includes the ongoing discussion for the final investment decision relating to the Venus development operated by Total Energies and the broader work required to move major discoveries from exploration towards commercial development. These engagements are very important because project development requires capital, technology, infrastructure, skills, regulatory certainty, and strong partnership between the government and the industry. Under this development, government's role is to establish a predictable, transparent, and competitive regulatory environment that enables responsible investment while ensuring that Namibia receives a fair and sustainable benefit from its natural resources. Industry, on the other hand, must bring the capital, technology, technical expertise, and project execution capabilities that is necessary to develop these resources safely, efficiently, and responsibly. The objective is therefore not government versus the industry. It is government in the industry working together to create national value while protecting the national interest more than the presence of the resource underground. Ladies and gentlemen, on our licensing regime, we continue to assess and strengthen Namibia's petroleum licensing framework to ensure that it remains competitive, transparent, and fit for purpose. As exploration activity increases, government is also considering the management and future issuance of petroleum exploration opportunities and blocks. Our approach is intended to provide investors with greater clarity and certainty while ensuring that Namibia retains the ability to manage its petroleum resources in the national interest. We want Namibia to be viewed as a jurisdiction where investors understand the rules, where those rules are applied consistently, and where investment decisions can be made with confidence. Ladies and gentlemen, on our legislative reform, The government is progressing very well with the work on the review of the petroleum legal and fiscal regime. As our petroleum sector develops, our legislative framework must evolve with it. The experiences gained from recent exploration activities, the scale of the discoveries made, and the complexity of future developments require us to continuously assess whether our laws remain adequate. The objective of these reforms is to strengthen the regulatory framework, to improve clarity where necessary, and also to ensure that our legislation supports responsible petroleum development while safeguarding the national interest. Ladies and gentlemen, let me talk about local content. We recognize that the development of Namibia's petroleum resources must create meaningful opportunities for Namibians. And I'm happy to confirm that the upstream, national upstream local content policy has been adopted by and approved by Cabinet, though pending some finalization processes that will not take long. The objective is to provide clear policy direction on local content, which will lead to the establishment of clear and practical framework that increases Namibia's participation across the petroleum value chain, including through the development of local businesses, employment creation, skill transfer, technology transfer, and access to procurement opportunities. Local content must, however, go beyond participation for its own sake. We want to see Namibian companies developing the capacity, expertise, and financial strength to compete within the petroleum industry and ultimately beyond it. The successful implementation of this policy will require strong collaboration among all stakeholders, including government institutions, petroleum operators, contractors, local businesses, civil societies, and communities. It will also require a shared commitment to transparency, accountability, and adherence to international best practices. Ladies and gentlemen, from petroleum investment to industry to industrial development, if we simply extract crude and export it, we will have captured only a portion of the value contained in our petroleum resources. Our ambition must be greater. We must explore opportunities for refining petrochemicals, gas to power, logistics, fabrication, marine services, storage, engineering, and other associated industries. The petroleum sector should become an anchor for wider industrial development. This is precisely the direction envisaged under the National Development Plan 6, NDP 6, using natural resource as a platform for economic diversification, industrialization, value addition, and employment creation, rather than perpetuating an economy based primarily on the export of raw materials. Her Excellency Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, the President, has been very clear that the oil and gas sector has a potential to transform Namibia's economy, but that its development must contribute to energy security, employment, local capacity, and sustainable growth. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to make Namibia an attractive oil and gas destination, and we welcome new entrants and frontier basin investment. Attracting investment requires more than geological potential and must offer investors a combination of resource potential, regulatory certainty, fiscal stability, efficient institution infrastructure and a skilled workforce. We are therefore looking at the broader investment environment and how government can remove unnecessary barriers to investment while maintaining appropriate safeguards. We want Namibia to be recognized not only as a country with oil and gas resources, but as a credible, competitive, responsible petroleum jurisdiction. The session that is talking to the independent entrants, unlocking value in frontier basins, is particularly relevant. Namibia remains a frontier petroleum province with significant opportunities for further exploration and development. We welcome investors who are prepared to bring not only financial capacity, but technology, expertise, innovation, and long-term commitment to Namibia. At the same time, investment must be undertaken within a framework that provides certainty to investors while safeguarding Namibia's national interest. And our message is therefore straightforward, that Namibia is open for responsible investment, is open for partnership, and Namibia is open for innovation, but investment must contribute to the broader national development agenda.
Yeah, that was part of the speech of Cornelia Shilunga, special advisor to the president of Namibia and the head of Petroleum Upstream Unit, speaking to investors and industrial players today at Oil and Gas Summit. Let's come back shortly after you save.
Bargain hunters, why pay more when you can pay less at USAFE stores? 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, $194.99. 3 kilograms Polana elbow or macaroni pasta at $72.99. 500 grams brick Rama original 70% fat spread at $26.99. 750 ml right brand sunflower oil at $29.99. And 700 ml crystal gold tomato sauce, an absolute bargain for $22.99. And 5 kilos marathon white sugar at $99.99. Save big at USAFE.
The view. Yeah, we are moving forward with Under Radar News Bulletin. You can engage us at 08-32-000. Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, King David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
Mm.
All right, this is the type of information. Thank you very much for being there for us.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we are learning good lessons, especially when we are being motivated by that. And I listened to the Honorable Minister in the President's office.
Yeah.
And I think at one point we have spoken about her when she was really urging the Namibian to participate and create some kind of network, a partnership.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, yes, there shouldn't be fear, as we are told by knowledge there.
Yeah.
That many a times we are just saying, no, our laws, our policies, and what. If those are really foundation that are laid by those who have come before us,
yeah,
we will then appreciate and find some appreciation in them.
Yeah,
and then you know those current ones, and they always say there are a lot of working structures, the existing ones.
Yeah.
So and then once we get in there, we use them, and then we come across some loopholes, where barriers. Why is people not participating?
Mm-hmm.
The capacity that is not really there. Is it perhaps to negotiate for partnership? And somebody must facilitate this process.
Yeah.
So that people can take advantage. I'm very grateful.
What do you think about the speech of the special advisor to the president regarding investors?
So I only started listening from knowledge cut there, and then from the Honorable Minister.
No, it's not the minister, it's a special advisor, is what I'm talking about.
I'm a special advisor, you are right. So he's the one that we're talking about. Whoa,
sorry. She's not a minister anymore, she's a special advisor,
You are right. And that's why the other time I think we were talking about her, when I was mentioning a point that she's really encouraging and urging you people.
Yeah.
That why is it that our people are not participating? So, of course, I understand the lack of capacity in some areas, but they could still be that, yes, people have got the capacity, but the approach that, like we heard from knowledge, that we should be taking, maybe it's just to seriously take some deliberate effort to facilitate those things and find out exactly why the people are not participating. Is it perhaps the platform or the information that they are not getting now? But here at Eagle FM, we are getting the information. And I think it's just perhaps they must be, you know, there is a fear. You know, the fear of the unknown. Yeah. That hinder people also to participate.
What is, that unknown? the fear of nothing.
You see, the fear of nothing.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be afraid of anything, actually. So it's just that fear that fear that brings fear and be scared there, and you feel that you are non-entity. So I think that one needs to die off. So keep on motivating them and giving information. I believe one or two people will hear, like knowledge has said, at least one person will listen to you, and you know, don't be discouraged. If you wait for 2-3 minutes or 20 minutes, so as long as you know that your vision will be realized. Thank you very much, King David.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On The Radar News Bulletin. You can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. We are speaking about oil and gas summit. And also to question, what are some of the critical, practical steps that Namibia can take? When are we going to move from presentation to practical application of those strategies, especially when it comes to the industry of oil and gas? Let's go to short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be looking at WHO Director General, Dr. Tedros, who is looking at Ebola becoming a global emergency, especially when it comes to Democratic Republic of Congo and also the neighboring countries.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ngino wapobwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omaru di dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bari heali nola natu heali bari no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bari o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
37 minutes past the hour of 1. We have a good 22 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Let us look at WHO. The head of WHO indicated that Ebola in Democratic Republic of Congo remain a global emergency. He stated this when he was speaking to health and emergency expert, especially looking at the response team to Africa, particularly in the region of Democratic Republic of Congo, to deal with Ebola virus.
Chief Dr. World Health Organization Chief Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo is far from being under control. With the number of cases nearing 5,000, he said it remains a global health emergency.
This is official.
World Health Organization Chief Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo is far from being under control. With the number of cases nearing 5,000, he said it remains a global health emergency with a high risk of regional spread. Yes, it seems to be in more recent weeks indeed. We've noted this increase in cases and deaths, which can be explained, among other things, by unsafe areas where our teams have struggled to carry out activities and gain access. We've observed that this infodemic and these forms of resistance within the community are still present. More than 2,300 people have died since the outbreak was declared in mid-May, making it the deadliest in the country's history. It's hit regions in the north and east where state presence is weak, health infrastructure is largely lacking, and fighting continues with various armed groups. We're already present in 6 provinces, so we'll need to combine our efforts to quickly bring the epidemic under control, starting with the epicenter, which is still Ituri province, while preventing the other high-risk provinces from being affected by this epidemic. So we really must manage to stop any further spread of this epidemic by containing it where it currently is. Ghebreyesus called on the international community to assist in efforts to contain the outbreak of the deadly hemorrhagic virus.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially looking at Ebola, and also to look at the aspect of emergency response, especially when it comes to Democratic Republic of Congo and assistance that is needed to deal with that issue. Looking at the context of global affairs, it is noted that the Strait of Hormuz continue to remain closed amidst negotiations between the United States of America and Iran, and that has continued to impact the global oil price. The Strait of Hormuz continue to be closed, and it's affecting the operation of global market.
More than 5 months into the standoff over the Strait of Hormuz, Iran's parliament speaker has said the waterway will remain closed until the U.S. meets Tehran's demands. The announcement comes as a ship transiting the strait was hit and damaged by an unknown projectile, British authorities said on Tuesday. I want to state clearly that the Strait of Hormuz will not be opened until the American commitments stipulated in the Memorandum of Understanding, specifically the lifting of the naval blockade, the unfreezing of assets, the lifting of the oil embargo, the cessation of threats and military operations on all fronts, as well as other clauses of the text, have been implemented. Iran has been holding talks with Oman on a plan to manage ships transiting the strait. U.S. President Trump threatened to bomb Oman if it gets in the way of a deal on Hormuz.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially
the president of the United
States, especially to look at the context of global oil price, and also to look at the context of United States of America and Iran that has impacted the global oil price. Looking at that, the communication from United States of America is also looking at the dispute of who is negotiating over the Strait of Hormuz, and also what needs to be done. And let us look at this and come back shortly, especially to look at the aspect of the President of the United States of America in that context.
The United States is threatening to bomb an ally, Oman, because it's working separately with Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. This is what Donald Trump told Fox News. If Oman gets in the way, we'll bomb the S out of them. Later, Trump was asked about those comments in the Oval Office.
This morning you said you would bomb the S out of Oman if they got in the way of reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Would you say you're out of patience with Oman, a strategic
partner? No, I don't think they behave very well, but we handle them very easily, just like we do others.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially looking at disputes between Oman and United States of America to look at who has power to negotiate over the Strait of Hormuz. The President of United States of America has threatened that he would bomb Oman if they continue to negotiate on their own. Now, looking at the impact of the price of oil globally, countries such as Senegal continue increasing the price of oil, both petrol, both super petrol and diesel, except other petroleum commodities. Let's look at this.
Move that the government. Senegal has raised fuel prices in a move that the government says is necessary because of the sharp rise in global oil cost. As of Saturday, August 15, super petrol now costs over 990 CFA franc a litre, up by 70 francs, while diesel had risen to...
And YouSave has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday, between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 YouSave voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 YouSave voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Now move
and
that the
out for the weekly competition question. YouSave, where good food costs less.
Yeah, from YouSave... We look again at
in a move that the government says Senegal has raised fuel prices in a move that the government says is necessary because of the sharp rise in global oil cost. As of Saturday, August 15, super petrol now costs over 990 CFA franc a litre, up by 70 francs, while diesel had risen to 755 francs, an increase of 75 francs. Officials say price for other petroleum products remain unchanged, including gas and fuel used for boats. The government said the increase simply returns fuel prices to their level before a cut introduced on December 6 last year. It further blamed the adjustment on the conflict in the Middle East, which began on February 28 and has driven up international oil prices. Since then, diesel prices have jumped by 69% and super petrol by 61%.
Yeah, that is what's happening, especially in Senegal, and the adjustment in terms of the price of oil. Looking at the top traded minerals in international market, cobalt international market. At number one, you have iron ore, which is leading the top five most top traded minerals in the world, followed by copper, that is selling at 9,500 per metric ton, and followed by gold, that is at the price of $2,000 per troy ounce, and followed by cobalt, that is selling at the price of $56,000 per metric tons, and you have platinum, that is traded nearly 1,750 per troy ounce. That is where the international trade in terms of minerals is standing, looking at the average of commodities. Let's look at a short commercial break. From there, we look at foreign exchange rates. Then we continue with global affairs. As I indicated, you can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the Radio News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours. Yeah, we are moving forward with On the Radar News Bulletins, 49 minutes past the hour of 1, and looking at where Namibian dollar is standing when it comes to foreign currency unit. The euro is selling at 19.42 Namibian dollars. Pound sterling selling at 22.69 Namibian dollars. And US dollar selling at 16.73 Namibian dollars. Moving on, looking at the aspect of deportation of immigrants from the United States of America. It was noted that Liberia agreed to accept up to 1,200 U.S. deportees under the new deal between the United States of America and also Liberia. Let us look at this and come back shortly.
President Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is stated that Liberia agreed to accept up to 1,200 people deported from the United States of America. Authorities indicated that in the West African country, one of the largest agreements under administration of Donald Trump, the policy aimed to deterring illegal immigration. Deportees will be received over the course of the year, with the first group of 20 expected to arrive tomorrow. It is indicated that Liberia Information Minister, that is Jeromine Pia, told the reporters that capital of Monrovia will be able to expect 20 deportees from the United States of America, looking at new strengthening of immigration laws. Moving forward, it is indicated that Gaza turn to gold, and there's an aspect of financial uncertainty to look at the most devastating countries in the world due to war. Let us look at this aspect.
With liquidity shortages and a collapsed banking system, Palestinians are turning to gold to hedge against financial uncertainty. Israel's blockade on the enclave has escalated to preventing cash from reaching or exiting Gaza. At the beginning of the war, gold prices were 10% lower than the global price per gram. Today, it is the opposite case. There has been a surge in demand as people have settled down a bit, and we hope that the crossings will open and that prices in the Gaza Strip will reach the same level as the global price. Global gold prices rallied again this week after falling the last couple of weeks. The metal hit an all-time record price of more than $5,600 per ounce in late January. Gaza is completely closed off from all directions. Before the war, we used to receive gold from the West Bank, Egypt, Dubai, and other places. The crossings were open, and gold could enter the Gaza Strip legally through the established channels. However, since the war began, And after more than 1,100 days of fighting, we have been living under a complete blockade of Gaza. As a result, no gold is currently entering the Gaza Strip. At a time of surging inflation, high unemployment, and dwindling savings, the scarcity of cash has magnified the financial squeeze on families, some of whom are selling their gold to buy essential goods. I came to buy gold because it provides a way to secure and preserve my money. Cash is not always readily available. Banks may not always be open, and banking transactions can sometimes be unavailable. I therefore see buying gold as a form of protection for the future. Gold is globally recognized and accessible, allowing me to use it whenever needed without the same concerns.
That is what's happening, especially looking at Gaza, and due to financial uncertainty, citizens in Gaza decided to turn into gold for exchange and also to do trading. Let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll give you an update of what is happening in Somalia regarding the fighting in Somalia and also the aspect of controlling of the city of Baidoa.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipuranenge no wapubwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Yeah, moving forward with on the radar news bulletin, looking at Somalia, it is noted that dozens of people are killed in the fight to control over the city of Baidoa. Let us look at this and come back shortly.
Fierce fighting between the Somali army and opposition forces in the key city of Baidoa in southwest state has left dozens of people dead, including four civilians. The battle erupted on Monday when militia loyal to the former state president Abdiaziz Hassan Mohamed Laftagarin attacked government positions on the outskirts of the city. Calm returned to Baidoa on Tuesday as the army inspected buildings and vehicles damaged in the fighting and patrolled major streets. Residents cautiously emerged from their homes, although troops maintained a heavy presence in key areas. The militia that attacked us were not alone. We've confirmed that they were accompanied by Al-Shabaab. We found Al-Shabaab fighters who were killed in the battle, and we also captured some of them behind. The sign behind me is their hallmark. We thank all the national forces who foiled this attack. With hospital officials saying nearly 100 people were wounded, this latest violence has increased pressure on health services already struggling to serve residents and displaced people. The city is home to more than 500,000 Somalis, displaced by conflict, drought, and hunger in other areas of the country. We've suffered 5 fatalities, including my wife. Children were also among those killed. These are the casualties we've recorded so far. Struggling to contain a 2-decade-long Al-Shabaab insurgency, the federal government's facing growing armed resistance from state governments. The involvement of the extremist group suggests it may have coordinated Monday's attacks with Lafta Garin's forces.
Yeah, that is what is happening with On The Radar News Bulletin. That will bring us to the end of our news bulletin, and I will leave you in the good hands of Peneambeko Jonas and Erastus Andreas. From me, Devin Shombe, bye-bye, and see you around.